Hello again, everyone. My name is Gerald Tosh-DeWarrick. I'm a licensed real estate agent in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and you're listening to The Real World of Real Estate. Today, my guest is Martin Sines with BeQuest Funds. Martin, welcome to the show, and why don't you take a minute and tell the folks a bit about yourself?
Thanks for having me on, Gerald. It's a pleasure. And BeQuest Funds is an income fund that produces monthly passive income for ourselves and our investors. And really, we're on a mission as an organization to spread monthly passive income to the world. We believe that, many families, many individuals across, all country lines need more monthly passive income. So we provide a lot of education alongside an investment vehicle by which someone can do that.
Oh, cool. Definitely, we could all use more passive income. I'll tell you that. And I guess you've written a couple books as well.
Yes, I'm passionate about education. I got into entrepreneurship and real estate investing 20 years ago, reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I still hold him up on a pedestal. And he's always been about education. And so I'm just doing my small part and contributing with a few books and sharing what little I've learned along the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, and your fund, I guess now you have $42 million in assets under management?
We have $75 million under collectively assets under management. We're really set up as a family office, and we just started taking investor funds on a few years ago in 2020. So we're about two-thirds family office where we manage our own assets, and about one-third investor capital. So that's kind of how we're split.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, that's wonderful. Well, let's dig into today's questions. And from looking at your one sheet that Rachel provided me, the first question I got for you is kind of a big, all-encompassing question, but I'll just throw it at you. So how do you successfully run a business? There's a question for you.
Yes. So I believe it all starts with a living financial statement. So it's something, financial statement usually is something that someone does when they're going for a bank loan or going to get a mortgage on a home. And you fill out, all the lengthy questions and the bank or financial institution determines what your income is, what your expenses are, what your assets and liabilities are. Well, I believe having one of those in place for yourself, for your business, and reviewing it on an ongoing basis, such as a weekly or monthly basis, is really the foundational block you need to have as a business owner when you're first getting started. And I've done it years later into today. I work off a living financial statement.
Oh, cool. Are you able to dig into a bit more? Like that's an interesting
living. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I could talk about it all day long, Gerald.
Well, yeah, not all day, but
so you have like so on the income section, I'll break out active income versus passive income. So I want to measure currently, what's coming in from an active perspective, that's usually like W-2 income, any kind of income you're working for, you're exchanging your time for dollars. Then I'll break out into columns in terms of all the assets I've acquired that produce monthly passive income. Now, it has to be true monthly passive income. It's not like I go buy a property as a landlord and I'm fixing toilets, every month or doing things, it is true passive income that I'm not putting effort into beyond the initial due diligence when I acquire the asset. So once I have a grasp on terms of where I'm at currently with active and passive income, then I assign goals to each of those categories that I'm striving for. So this living financial statement is very much goal oriented, and that's just the income section.
Okay. Well, that's really cool. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So obviously the goal is to increase the passive income side, I guess, or one of the goals is. So how do we do that? How do we, in general, how do we create passive income?
Yeah. So, so on the asset side of the equation, you are looking at assets that you can acquire that generate passive income. So, those can come in various forms. And so it can come with, if you, you know, take on the asset of creating videos where you're training someone online in terms of what your area of expertise is. Let's say you work on heating and air conditioning units and you have a specialization. Well, if you create training videos and sell them on Teachable or Udemy, you're creating ongoing passive income. Or if you buy into an income fund, then and you place a subscription in and you start generating monthly income that way. Or you know, there's various assets and various ways. You know, there's YouTube people, there's online training courses, there's in-person training courses, there's various ways you can generate income. So it's really about building your asset column towards assets that produce income versus assets that are store value that just kind of sit there and appreciate over time. And as it relates to liabilities, you should only, as a practice, take on liabilities to acquire assets that produce income on a monthly basis in a passive manner.
Okay. And I should let the listeners know at this point that check out my special episode on different investment models. Martin's model, Martin's fund is going to be on there, Martin, and it may or may not be out already by the time you're listening to this, but check out my special investment episode. I've got several different investment models, and Martin's model is on there. He'll go into great detail about the model itself. So, okay, cool. So, and I'm going to take a wild guess that BeQuest fund kind of specializes on the passive income side of things. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, so well before BeQuest was formed in 2020, I've been a cash flow investor since 2009, since I was buying rental properties and so I accumulated a portfolio of commercial and residential properties in the DC area. I started buying pools of mortgages from the secondary mortgage market in 2013. And so over the course of time, I really grew an investment strategy of acquiring assets that produce cash flow in a consistent and predictable manner, acquiring assets that I could easily understand. So in other words, a mortgage, living in a house, you know, I can easily understand those. And then also acquiring assets where I had some level of control over the outcome. So, you know, if it meets those three criteria, and if it's in real estate and energy, then I'm a potential candidate to invest in those assets.
Okay. And I see from the information that Rachel provided me on you and on your funds and that, I see that one of the things that, of course, you're working toward is that elusive goal of retiring financially free. And a lot of people talk about that, but really, it's not that often someone sits there like, what exactly does it mean? Can you define that for us? What does it mean, retire? What does that mean, retiring financially free?
Yeah, so for me, I'll go by the definition of your monthly passive income that you're earning in a consistent and predictable manner exceeds your monthly expenses. So emphasis on consistent and predictable. And it's something that I did about 7 years ago. And so I've been on a mission since, and this is the reason I wrote the books, and I'm really kind of building up this mission of spreading monthly passive income to the world. Is I just believe that there's so many people that need this. And this is so much bigger than just myself or what our team's doing. I believe it's, you know, families are dying financially as a result of not going down this road of building monthly passive income.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. So, all right. Well, then let's now flip it around. We've talked about the retiring financially free aspect. How do people get in? How do you get into this?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You don't need a lot of money to get into what we're discussing here, to be involved, to take the next step. You know, we talked about building a financial statement for yourself. You need accountability partners that you can review that financial statement with. You need some good mentors in your life, whether you're paying for those individuals or you're partnering with them in certain ways. You need to take account of everybody who's around you, everyone in your community. Make sure you're vetting those individuals. You're keeping people that are positive and moving you forward close to you. All these things that we kind of know about, and then go into reading books. And then I would say go to attending conferences and listening to podcasts like yourself, all of which you don't need a bazillion dollars to really do. But there's a discipline behind embracing that lifestyle change for yourself.
Yeah, very much so. And I see you mentioned books, and one of your books is called Note Investing Made Easier, How to Buy and Profit from Distressed Mortgages. And I take it that's probably gives us an example of some of the things that Bequest does, or one of your angles. Is that, I'm taking a wild guess there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the emphasis of that book was on just giving my whole playbook for individuals that want to start a note investing business for themselves. You know, obviously, like, we're, you know, Bequest, we have an income fund, but we're not for everyone. You know, some people want to go out and they want to start their own business. You know, they want to do things for themselves. And that's great. So it really, the book speaks to the entrepreneur. And I really emphasize one point in that book, and that is deal flow is king and not cash flow or cash. Because the person that really controls the deal flow and brings, you know, an abundance of deal flow to the table is the one that's going to do well over time.
Okay. Well, at this point in the show, I like to take a minute and I like to ask my guests a little question about themselves. You know, something along the lines of maybe some special hobby you have, or some famous person you met, or some special place you've been, or something about you or your life, something, an interesting little tidbit. You got anything you can share with the folks?
Yeah, so I feel very blessed and fortunate to be in Sarasota, Florida, because yeah. I do like the warm weather, and so we have four young children, 11 to 6, and every Saturday I call it Dadder Day, and so I'll take the kids out, we'll go to the pool, we'll go to the beach, and we'll do some fun activities. So I really cherish those Dadder days as a hobby, as an experience that I have with my children.
Oh, cool. And so every Saturday is a Dadder Day. Do you have,
yes,
any sort of things that you do on a regular basis, or is it always something different?
I pretty much just work and do activities with the kids. I don't know that there's much beyond that. We are going to El Salvador for vacation next month, so I'm really looking forward to that, that experience. But no, it's just work and family.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm just looking at Google Maps right now, and I see Sarasota is on the west coast of Florida, just south of St. Petersburg, between St. Petersburg and Fort Myers. What's it like on the west coast? Is it rainy? Is it sunshiny?
It's sunshine pretty much 11 months out of the year. It's in the 80s today, which it's in the 80s most days. It's just a lot of sunshine, and it's real chill on the west coast. East coast is a little bit more like, got like a New York flavor to it, a little bit more rushed, but we're a little bit more chillaxed on this side of the coast.
I shouldn't have asked a question I didn't want an answer to. You know, it's that's beautiful, 80 degrees every day. Mind you, we are leaving in a couple days for Phoenix for a golf trip, so that'll be nice. Now, we used to go to Florida a lot. We used to go to Orlando area to golf. But the guys like, I like Florida more, but they like Arizona more. By the time this podcast come out, I'll be back home to the cold again. I'll be looking forward to some of that. Well, that's cool. That's really interesting. And let's swing back. I've only got a couple more questions for you before we're done today. So you've been doing this for a while. You've got quite a large dollar value of assets under your management. I want to basically ask you two questions. And the first question is, what are some of the hardest lessons you've learned?
Yeah, so it is to focus on the culture versus the expertise of individuals. So we have a 20-person operation here that manages the funds. And for a number of years, we just started taking on employees really when we started BeQuest in 2020. But we did it initially where we took people based on expertise, and we didn't pay attention to if they fit in the culture. And so we have a culture of positivity, a culture of high energy, a culture of communication, dialogue, and integrity. And so what we found is when we hired based on skill set, we got issues with dynamics. And so once we started to hire based on culture, like everything just really got so much better. You just want to be in the office. It's positive energy. People are you know, like-minded and striving to do better. And it's just been a better place.
Oh, that's, I see what you're saying. It reminds me of the old saying, I don't know if it's true or not. The story goes of this company that had a sign that says, "We don't train our people to be nice. We hire nice people." Is that what you're hiring the right kind of people, right? Not on the skill set, but on the kind of person they are. Is that kind of?
Yeah. And then what you find is people that are just open-minded, people that are great to work with. They're always looking to do better, be better, and so they rise to the occasion. And they get the skills that are needed, and we outsource whatever we need outsourced, and we don't try to force anyone into something that they're not.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so there's a tough lesson learned. What are some of the greatest accomplishments?
I'd say just in my earlier stages of running a company, my wife and I founded a government contracting company, and we ran it till 2013 when we sold it. I would say numerous times making payroll the day of payroll being due was probably the greatest accomplishment. And the checks came in the mail literally the day that I had to write payroll checks. It happened numerous times early on, and I cried. I cried a lot.
that is amazing. At the time, those were probably amazing things. But I'll bet with $75 million under assets under management, I think you've probably got a lot more. What's the word I'm looking for? A lot more achievements than that. You've probably got a lot. I mean, that's amazing achievement. What I'm saying is, you've probably got a lot of amazing achievements. That's $75 million. You've grown it. You've grown the organization. You've done a lot of good things. You're going to be on my special investment episode podcast. Martin, I'm basically out of questions for you. So at the end of every episode, I always open the floor up. If there's something I haven't asked you, the floor is yours. If there's anything you want to add.
Yeah, I would just say, no matter where you are in life, the $75 million or whatever, that's just the end result. Focus on the difference that you can make, the strides you can make today. That's the most significant thing. There's always something you can do today to move you towards your goal that doesn't require a lot of money. It may require effort, like anything else worth doing requires effort. And so we just kind of name like 10 things, right? Living financial statement. Inventory of your community, who's your accountability partner, get some mentors, read the books, listen to the podcast, go to some local conferences. All of these are not going to break your bank account, but they will get you started on the road to where you need to be. And that's the most significant thing. And if you're already excelled and you're already kind of moving forward, I'm sure there's a lot of things you can do to just kind of refine your processes and better yourself.
Well said. Very well said, Martin. And thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the show today. Folks, that's it. Again, my guest is Martin Sines with BeQuest Funds. You've been listening to The Real World of Real Estate. Bye for now.